For SearchSAP.com, I'm Rob Westervelt. You're listening to coverage of SAP Sapphire 2006 from Orlando, Florida. Today, we'll talk about master data management with Andrew White. Andrew is a research director with Gartner Research. His level of expertise covers supply chain management, data synchronization, and master data management. We'll also talk about SAP master data management with Sunil Gupta. Sunil is director of NetWeaver product marketing at SAP. But first, let's start with Andrew White of Gartner. I asked Andrew why many enterprises are beginning master data management projects.
There are many different reasons. Some of them are very specific to a department or a part of the business, such as the sales and marketing organization trying to get value from a CRM implementation, who find out suddenly that the data that goes into the CRM system isn't real clean. They don't have a single view of customer, so they can't do their upselling and cross-selling properly. Or it could be a procurement side of the business is trying to streamline purchasing, and they find out they don't have a single view of product or vendor, so you know they're not rationalizing and getting a good clear view of what they're spending and with whom. Or it could be a top-down type issue with the CIO, who's thinking, you know what, we've got so many business requests that require a nimble, agile IT shop, and you know, we have so much money in our budget spent on integration and keeping the thing that we have just going, that we need to do something different in order to free up funds and to really get to grips with some of the problems that are common to every part of the business. And so the CIO may be embarking on a service-oriented architecture approach, and to do that, they've got to get to grips with data quality and master data management. So there are many different reasons why, you know, this old problem, which has been sort of chronic, has now become sort of acute, and hence people are now addressing it.
And how are they addressing it? I mean, has it started out with choosing sort of a niche vendor, a master data management vendor, a third-party vendor, rather than going with the SAPs, the Oracles, the large ERP vendors?
That's the observation in the data. I don't know that there was a methodology in how we got there. I think the issue really is that when the technology landscape sort of recognized that customers are saying, you know what, we've got to do something differently with the data, what happened, hence the observation of the data, is that some of the vendors out there, and these are niche smaller vendors, happen to have been very, very close to these departmental needs. So product information, which is very specific to industry and sort of supply chain, you know, that's where we saw the first set of vendors emerge, because they were very well versed in how enterprises exchange data. So we saw EDI vendors talk about this, we saw catalog vendors talk about this stuff, and the transaction vendors, as represented by SAP and other sort of enterprise suite vendors, they weren't really intimately aware of the early signals, because why should they? They weren't interested. They didn't really focus on that part of the business. But what happened is that after a couple of years, these suite approach type architectures and vendors that deliver them, you know, got to see so many different things going on at the edge of the enterprise that suddenly, you know, it became obvious that, you know, what we need to do is to actually manage this stuff centrally, not necessarily at the edge of the enterprise. So that explains the observations that the best of breed niche vendors started first. So we saw PIM emerge, product information management. We've seen customer information or customer data integration emerge as a second market.
I was going to ask you why product information started first. I mean, why did it start with product information and then it sort of expand out to customer and then supplier?
Yeah, I think the market really emerged because of a couple of triggers. One is peculiar to consumer goods and retail, and this is to do with what they call global data synchronization. So 5-6 years ago, that industry, which is really several industries, they started on a program to synchronize data around price, promotion, product data, new product introduction between manufacturers and retailers, because they believed collectively they could save loads of money and streamline what they do. Not change the competitive landscape, but improve the industry. And they started on this program, and then, you know, after a few years, they realized, you know what, we can't share this stuff very easily. That's all down tied to product, because guess what? The data inside my business is messed up. So they sort of backed into PIM. They started out with external synchronization as the driver, and they stopped saying, you know what, we can't do too much of this because I've got to clean up the stuff inside before I can start to share it outside. So that was the first trigger. The second trigger is RFID. Another hot topic. A lot of RFID in many industries is centered on communicating across the value chain where an object is. Where is this, this bicycle? Where is this, spare part? Where is this item? And if I'm going to share with you an RFID message that describes what this item is, we need to make sure that you know exactly which item we're talking about.
And that's where these standards are, the EPC coding for particular products. Is that?
Yeah, it's related. That there are many different standards that we're bumping up against here. There's mm-hmm. no one single standard, but certainly there are standards around product definitions, around attributes, around RFID messages, and so on.
It seems to be extremely complicated. Is there a roadmap or a blueprint for companies? When a company identifies MDM as an initiative for them, where should they begin?
That's a great question. There has been a severe lack of holistic roadmaps. I don't know if that's the right phrase, but you know, certainly if you look at things like GDS, where it started, and RFID, there are a few places customers, end users, can go to you know, say, you know what, you know, this is complicated. It makes my head hurt. Where do I go to find out? What do I do now? What do I do 3 months from now? What do I do a year from now? And you know, it's left up to industry standard communities. It's left up to channel masters or brand owners to dictate what they want. And it's been left up to vendors, IT vendors, to say, look, you know, we have an idea, and so let me show you what we think you should do first. And so it's been a sort of a maelstrom of different ideas, and we, you know, we try to help customers, and we've published some roadmaps. So, you know, there's a bunch of now choices, but, you know, the industry has collectively lost ground and spun a few wheels in the last few years because everybody assumed we knew what we were going to do, and the answer is we didn't. You know, why would consumer and retail industries spend 5 years on global data sync without first getting their own house in order?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we know now, then we wouldn't have spun our wheels on GDS. We would have done this sort of enterprise information management first and then started global data sync later.
And then once you get started, it gets even more complicated.
Yeah, you're right. The internal side of this is as big as anything else can be. And so when a company starts to look at their master data management, look at how they manage this asset, they realize that, you know, they have multiple stacks of applications, each with their own data. They may have different business units. They may have bought and sold different business units. And so, you know, this is not a quick fix. This is much more a journey. You have to start somewhere. And certainly, you know, a repository to store the clean data is one thing. And this is the MDM tools. But then, you know, getting to that actual golden record is a task in itself. So the data quality programs and governance models also are very, very important and complex.
Who is there a particular person within a company that usually leads these MDM projects?
A kind of trick question. I mean, yes and no. You know, if we go back to where we started, you know, what triggers this discussion? You know, if it's top down, it's going to be cheer-led from the CIO. If it's, you know, business-led, it's probably going to come from one of the departments like sales and marketing or supply chain or logistics around product or mm-hmm. sales and marketing and engineering around customer potentially. And so it's cheer-led from different people. But the important point is this is an enterprise-type initiative. It is not a, you know, you can't do this at the departmental level, even though it may start there. And it requires line of business and IT involvement. So, you know, this governance model that we just mentioned really may be sort of, the work might be done predominantly by IT, but the decision makers have to be line of business.
And do these projects, how long do they usually take? Is this a 6-month project? Is this something that is continual?
Yeah, this is much one of these horrible things that's more of a journey with lots of different milestones. It's not a destination. And so, you know, very typically a large complex organization that we've looked at may start with a product information management project in one country, this grows into become a global product definition discussion. So that's the second year. And then the third year, they've got to the realization that, you know what, this is master data, period, all forms of master data. And so they develop an enterprise information management strategy, and then that's going to keep them going for the next 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tied to, you know, SOA, it's tied to, you know, platform discussions. I mean, this is not, you know, just another CRM project or another supply chain project. This is the DNA of the business.
Now, I wanted to talk a little bit more about SAP.
Yeah.
And from what I understood, it seems to me that they had started development on their own master data management product and then saw A2i and gobbled up A2i and then threw out all their initial development.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Okay.
They did start their own project. And SAP's original driver really wasn't this sort of PIM or external, you know, edge of the enterprise stuff. SAP's original set of customer drivers were related to large, complex companies with multiple instances of SAP.
Okay.
Who were then using or abusing, you know, redundant copies of R3 to aggregate data, or were using things like ALE, one of the old integration technologies that SAP maintains.
And what did they see in A2i that...
A2i, basically, before they joined or were acquired by SAP, A2i was sort of came from the sort of MRO, industrial part, catalog publishing market.
Okay.
There were lots of catalog vendors who stored product information and attribute data and marketing data for the purposes of publishing to either paper catalogs or HTML catalogs. That's what A2i did. And the functional overlap between a PIM system and a, you know, industrial parts catalog are very similar, but there are some gaps. And the similarity is that you have to integrate with multiple inbound systems that send data to you. You have to model data and provide different flexible views of data and hierarchy management and add attributes and so on and talk about inheritance in attributes and so on. So A2i did all that, but the weaknesses were publishing to consuming systems. You know, a PIM system has to make sure that the data quality in downstream systems remains good. So if somebody subscribes to the publishing system, but then they override the data and make it dirty, the PIM system is like a policeman, has to monitor this and say, look, this system downstream or this user is violating the rules. We need to fix it. And mm-hmm. catalog systems don't do that. They just publish to HTML. So that's the part that SAP has been working on the PIM side. The other dimension is that A2i didn't manage, you know, customer data, didn't manage customer data as a system of record, didn't manage location data or employee data or ledger data or vendor data as a system of record. It only managed product data as a system of record.
So for the first couple of years, SAP's MDM product only worked with just product data, is that correct?
I think
correct?
That's fair. That's fair. That was the focus, and that made sense. I mean, it's not a criticism. It's just the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
And they have SAP has been feverishly investing in expanding that functional area that I described, as well as moving into other domains, which means, you know, different data models, different workflows, and that's what they've been doing with the product. You know,
now, the latest release in March, from what I understand, does incorporate the other data types. So there is support for customer, supplier. Is that correct?
Yeah, the product itself certainly can support, from a technical viewpoint, some of these other domains. The issue is not necessarily that a product can support the data model itself.
Mm-hmm.
It is a flex. The system is extensible, so you can add your own attributes and change the data model. The issue is that experience and implementation probably counts for as much, if not more, than the technical capability of storing the data. So if we look at the customer base, we still find that the predominant, you know, maybe 70%, 67% of the SAP MDM customer base is still focused on product information.
Okay.
So the product itself, you know, is new for customer and vendor. It's capable, but SAP really needs customers to, you know, implement, go live, test, give feedback, and sort of build another big customer base in that area for the systems to sort of bed down and round out the functionality.
And also, when I got into this discussion about SAP MDM with SAP, the conversation seemed to get more and more complicated as we went along. I mean, we started talking about using SAP Exchange infrastructure. and all of these other SAP technologies, obviously with NetWeaver. What are the main challenges right now for SAP customers if they're going to be implementing SAP MDM? Is there some initial adoption issues?
That's a real tough question. It's not the type of thing you answer with a single response.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's going to be very different for every customer based on a whole range of factors, from, you know, how important is NetWeaver, how important is ESA, how important is SOA, and, I mean, it goes on.
Is there a simple SAP MDM deployment without having to go through Exchange infrastructure, without having to deploy it via NetWeaver, or you've really got to...
Well, not really, because the way I look at it, you know, NetWeaver is a collection of pieces,
okay.
First off, so we can almost eliminate that dialogue, because it's a portal, it's XI, it's MDM and other pieces. So
right.
Beyond that, you know, can you use SAP MDM without XI? The answer is, well, you can't use any MDM system without the ability to move data. And XI is a way to move data from A to B. So whether you use SAP XI, if you didn't, you'd have to use something else, you know, some other EAI technology.
Okay.
So the issue is really whether you can afford to approach master data management as a practice piecemeal, or whether you can afford or need to address master data management holistically. That will dictate the sequence with which you try to implement the technology. How far do you go in terms of, you know, all product data or a little bit of product data, then I go to customer, or do I do North America first versus global? I mean, those are the more, you know, meaningful discussions. I mean, it is complex. This is a complex topic. There's no question of.
Mm-hmm. And then are there some third-party vendors at this point that really stand out?
That's an interesting question. It's a dynamic market, so there are vendors that are always improving their position. Certainly the observations, the data suggests that there's a couple of vendors that appear regularly in the SAP customer base.
Okay.
Certainly Kaleido is a niche vendor, a small vendor, very focused on metadata and master data management in complex SAP environments. They're not a strong vendor on the PIM side, because it's really, you know, when you get to the specifics of product information, you might have to store up to 2,000 attributes and hundreds of hierarchies.
Mm-hmm.
So a Kaleido would struggle there more than an SAP MDM would struggle there.
Mm-hmm.
But Kaleido would be great and is doing well in, you know, handling all kinds of master data objects in a kind of less complex environment. Back Office Associates is a consulting type company that is doing well in helping SAP customers implement a governance model around SAP MDM. So they're a nice complement to the MDM system, but they don't replace it. They're just, you know, more and more customers are saying, you know, MDM is great as a product or as a tool, but I need people that have done it and that can help me implement the procedures around it. And Back Office Associates are helping out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, IBM also has many customers have IBM as well as SAP. You know, they use IBM for integration or e-commerce. And again, if there's an investment there, that's oftentimes another avenue of analysis. You know, maybe look at the IBM approach for managing master data.
Mm-hmm. Well, Andrew White, thank you very much.
Pleasure. Glad to help.
Next, Barney Beal, news editor of CertCRM.com, and myself had a discussion about master data management with Sunil Gupta, director of NetWeaver product marketing.
Office Max presented on their MDM deployment. They're going live very shortly, in roughly the Q3 timeframe.
Okay.
And they have chosen MDM. It has no connection to, they're not a former A2i customer.
Mm-hmm.
They have a broad deployment, which will essentially enable them to provide a single view of all not only trade item information but vendor information as well. They will be interfacing that in a very complex environment together with their R3 systems, with their non-SAP systems.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very broad footprint.
Why don't we talk about the type of data that Office Max is going to be tapping into?
Okay, so like I mentioned, they'll have multiple kinds of data elements that they will be tapping into.
Mm-hmm.
ranging from item data.
Okay.
So for example, everything from things they sell, including their the items they acquired, I think, from their acquisition of Boise,
mm-hmm.
right? It's pretty much across the board. It includes vendor information as well, so suppliers, okay? It's pretty extensive, it's across the board. This will power essentially their deployments, not only for how they manage information internally, but this will power eventually their circulars, pretty much every channel you can think of. So all content, all information will be managed and will actually drive all channels of communications. It's a very comprehensive project.
I was under the assumption that, or I thought that it was just customer data right now, that SAP MDM
supports.
Right.
Since March 2005, with MDM version 5.5 Service Pack 1, we have supported customer, product, vendor or supplier, as they're interchangeably called, employee, as well as a whole host of user-defined capabilities, including chart of accounts, pretty much anything you know you want to define it as.
Mm-hmm. Is there a specific area that's been more in demand from your customers so far? I mean, are people more interested in the customer side of data integration, or are they more sort of side of product? Is it kind of a holistic view?
I would say it's a mix. Most of our customers are making broad strategic decisions in the context of their enterprise services strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they're taking a holistic look at, they have to essentially manage all the business data, whether it's product data or customer data or supplier data. To give you some color on that, I would say the three most common data types we see requested are probably customer, product, and supplier, or vendor. Those would probably be the three most common ones we see pretty universally, whether you're talking, you know, EMEA, North America, whatever geographies.
Mm-hmm. Is it for the customers that currently have the A2i iteration, if they upgrade, what is that process like? Is it easy for them to do?
Painless. The upgrade process is very quick, very fast, very easy. No challenges whatsoever.
How about extending it out, though, to the new data sources that MDM now supports? What is that like?
The beauty of the way we have designed this from day one is how quickly and easily you can use this to really manage any kind of information. In fact, we have customers who are basically deploying in, I would say, 3 to 6 month cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, when you get into large global projects, they're typically phased, as can be imagined. So typically you will see, for example, 2 or 3 phases where they may elect to first go live with, for example, customer, followed by product, followed by supplier, and so forth. 45% of our customers use MDM today with absolutely no other SAP software. And for the remaining 55% of our customers, they use it in a very heterogeneous environment where, for example, I'm trying to remember some data points for you, but you will find, let's say, 3 or 4 SAP systems and say anywhere from 10 to 50 non-SAP legacy systems, which could be as simple as an Excel spreadsheet to something as complex as a full-blown enterprise application that an in-house IT organization has built.
Mm. How easy is it to integrate, though, with a competitor, for example, if you have a data source that's Siebel, for example, or what's the process there?
The NetWeaver platform through the Exchange infrastructure, which is the glue for MDM,
mm-hmm.
as well as a whole host of APIs, enable you to provide seamless integration to either an SAP system or a non-SAP system. Through the Exchange infrastructure, for example, we have hundreds of adapters. I think if you probably covered this space before for us, we can probably give you the whole laundry list of every system that we connect to, okay? We also have direct APIs if you want to use that way as well. Now, with the trend towards industry standard XML, the beauty of that again is we communicate and exchange data in XML. Mm-hmm. So if your another application is transmitting information in XML, guess what? It's very easy to deliver that integration. It's literally a few configurations, customizations, you're done. If you want to see some examples, we encourage you to come by. We can show you some examples of how you can tap into various data sources very quickly, very easily.
The complexity comes in when you have another data source and you have to implement SAP XI.
The way I would comment on that is the following. We have various ways of connecting. If you have very large-scale, complex deployments, for example, where you need to connect to a diverse number of sources, you can absolutely deploy XI, but we have direct APIs. I mean, I can show you literally on my laptop up and running, I can connect to a data source, like an ODBC data source, you name it, an Excel source. Instantly, I can show you an import right now in less than 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, has absolutely no bearing from a time factor on how quickly you can get up and running. It is extremely fast, and it's tangible, it's real, we have customers doing that today.
And then the other area that is causing challenges is in the data cleansing part.
Data cleansing is more than just about our technology,
mm-hmm.
right? Remember one of the things I pointed out initially was this whole strategy of data governance and ensuring you have agreements in place on what you have.
To use the latest version of SAP MDM, do you have to be using my SAP ERP?
Do you have to be using my SAP ERP to use the latest version of MDM? No.
Yeah.
Hey, you have customers with 4.6, 4.7. See, I can't even remember the versions. I don't know which. To be honest.
Can you compare and contrast a little bit between how your SAP's approach to, say, Oracle and our customer data hub and like a pure play vendor like Kalido? I mean, what is the difference? Talk a little bit about that.
Our approach is the following. We have industry solutions, as you know, in 20 different businesses. The last I checked, there could be more by now. We understand the business processes, and we understand what makes every business different with respect to a business process. Therefore, our approach to MDM is to ensure, in the context of your business process, we understand how to manage the business data that is needed by the process. So that includes not only the ability to manage holistically all the data, including delivering normalized information, but delivering it in the context of enterprise SOA. Right? And that's our approach. So if you ask me to contrast this to other vendors who say, oh, our solution is going to handle customer data. Great. Does your business only have only customers? It's like, gee, what are you selling? Products. What happened to that?
So what about somebody like Kalido then?
Did I address the question? What does Kalido do? What kind of stuff do they address? They have a holistic solution? You tell me.
They claim to.
Well, I think that you should talk to some of their customers and ask them that question. But our vision and strategy from day one, from when we announced that we're developing the solution back in 2002, has been to take a holistic view. I think you would probably agree if you go back and look that pretty much everybody is trying to now rapidly do the same thing. And what is that saying? Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery? I don't know.
That ends this edition of Search SAP's coverage of Sapphire 2006 from Orlando, Florida. Be sure to check out previous podcasts at searchsap.com/audio. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.